Once again, folks, our Lord has led a man to stand before you and bring a devotional. Did you have any idea what I would be teaching on this morning? Exactly what you just talked about. That very thing. Let me ask you. You mentioned it. I stepped off to the restroom, so I apologize if I didn't hear it and you already mentioned it. This friend, did it not sadden you greatly?
Yep.
Absolutely. Is there not one person here today who is saddened over those who will not listen? Those that we love, those that we've come to care about, as Pastor did with this man? Would you open your Bibles to the 9th chapter of Romans, please? I'm not sure what the Lord's going to lead me to do in my next Bible study. I've been praying about it. I spent some time on the airplane looking at this chapter 9 as a possible study, future study. I'd ask for your prayers. I know our brother Mike will be doing some traveling now, and it won't be long until our pastor and his wife retire completely, and I'll probably be having to stand before you doing Bible studies quite often, so I ask for your prayers that the Lord might lead me and where to go. So this morning I want to begin with asking you this question: what is the most well-known scripture in all of God's Word? John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is my divine declaration for this morning. This is our divine declaration for this morning's study. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. As we go along this path that God has given us to walk, we all will have many, many trials of all kinds. Trials with sicknesses, trials with work, trials with relationships, trials with all things, trials with our own sin in our own flesh. But one that we all must suffer is the fact, and this is a fact, this is not my opinion, this is a fact from God's Word, truth. Not all will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Some that we may even think. We are reminded throughout His Word, throughout our Lord's Word, throughout the Scriptures, throughout the Gospels, there is but a remnant, a small portion of those who walk this earth who will be saved. Those for whom Christ died for. Those that He has loved from before the foundation of the world is nothing more than a small remnant. There are many of our loved ones who have no desire to know who Christ Jesus is, let alone believe His Word. Kathy and I have just spent a week and a half with my daughter, which I'm just so thankful. I enjoyed every moment of it. As some of you may know, she's engaged to be married, which is an answered prayer. I had no idea that he was going to ask her. He had given us all indications that he had not had any desire to follow that tradition. And all of us that love him just kind of gave up. In fact, my daughter even told me don't talk about it anymore because it upset her. It would bother her quite a bit. And so I had great blessings. Had a lot of good time, but I had no fellowship. You know what that feels like?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. And it hurts. It's hard not to be able to even bring up that subject of who my Savior is, for fear that I might ruin the mood, that I might ruin whatever mood they may be in. It saddens me greatly. And here in Romans 9, if you'll join me in reading the first couple of verses, we see where Paul feels that very same trouble. He feels that very same pain dealing with those that he loves who don't know the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 9, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Paul was very sorry, just as you and I are when we speak with our loved ones. It just, the contrast to that very pain that I feel when I can't speak about it with my daughter is when my son occasionally will ask a question. And oh, the joy it brings to be able to say, let me talk to you about who my Lord is. Let me tell you about who this Christ is of Scripture, this creator of all things, he who works all things out after the counsel of his own will. It saddens me greatly. Even speaking to those who claim to be Christians. Have any of you, family, friends, loved ones, who follow the Christ, the little Christ, the one they call Christ, who has no power? Paul is disturbed by this so much because all of Israel around him is following their works, following their laws, following their traditions, and neglecting the true grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejecting it. So much bothered by it that in verse 3 he says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. His sorrow is so great that he would give up his salvation if it would save just one of his loved ones. Is there any here today that might feel that same? I love my children and I love my grandchildren with all my heart. I would love to be able to speak to them as I do with my wife. Or as I do with you. I remember a time when Kathy and I were traveling along the coast, central divide in Canada. And they have a place they call the ice fields up there. And you ride along down through this valley. And on both sides of the valley are steep cliffs, 500, 600, maybe even 1,000 feet high. And on the very top of each cliffs, there's probably 500 feet of ice, just the most beautiful turquoise blue you've ever seen. Breathtaking. If you've ever seen Yosemite for the first time and your mouth just dropped as you looked at those rocks and see how awesome they are, that was what I felt. And I just blurted out, wow. Wow, look what God has created. That was before Kathy knew who he was. And she turned to me and she says, oh, you just got to bring that out, don't you? I was the exact same way at one time, too. My mom would talk to me about the Lord, and I'd, oh, you, Mom, I got it, don't worry. I would love to be able to talk to them as that way. But as Paul describes his heaviness, his continual sorrow, I can't help but feel the same. Or even worse. to have a loved one who does not believe according to God's word. Or in other words, one who believes on another Jesus. A Jesus who fits their own idea of what God should be. In Titus 1:16, he says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and into every good work reprobate. Or in 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. That's hard when they're your family. That's hard when they're your children. When it says, whosoever believeth, it means to believe the whole counsel of God. All of God's word. I don't know how our Lord Jesus, the creator of all things, he who is perfect in all ways, was made to be sin for me. But he was.
Yes, sir.
He says so. A friend of mine, our co-worker, texted me last night, said, I've lost two of my lifelong friends today in an accident. And a third one, who is as close to me as family, has been diagnosed with a deadly disease that's incurable. I know you're a church-going man. And although that's not my thing, I ask that you might pray for me and pray for them. And I won't go into all the details, but I spent several texts with him last night. And I gotta let that go. I'm just gonna let it be. When it says, whosoever believeth, it means to believe the whole counsel of God, all of God's word. Not just what you like, but all things in his word are true. So you may ask this question. Well, what, John? Am I expected to live with this heaviness? Well, yeah. Yeah, you are. Yes, you must. But I'm here this morning to tell you that there is comfort that you can lean upon. Comfort ye my people, the Lord says. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, if you would. We also see throughout God's word that we are turned to seek him who is our comfort. Sometimes our trials have to be pretty deep. Jonah's trial was so deep that he was swallowed up, and I believe he died. I believe the Lord's word points us to the fact that he died in that belly's fish. Or that fish belly. Turn that around. Sometimes our trials that we go through with our own family, not knowing the Lord, can be so heavy that we too would feel like Paul does. Like Pastor did with his friend. Heavy. And we may think to ourselves, well, why would we have to go through this? Because the Lord wants us to turn back to him again. We've gotten comfortable in our ways, haven't we? I do this often. Way more often than I want to admit. And I turn away from my Lord, and he turns me right back by letting me fall a little deeper into that pit. Not all the way. Because he's always got a hold of me. I shall never leave you nor forsake you, he tells me. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, you don't need to turn there, verses 27 through through 30, we read, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, it reads, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Isn't that interesting? As I was typing this out for this morning's message, I got that message from my coworker last night. God brought a man who has no desire to even look to him to me last night, that I might bring comfort to him in his sorrow over the death of his friends. And through God's word, I quoted this scripture, "All things are for the good to those that love the Lord." Our God works all things out after the counsel of his own will. And I actually thought that was going to be kind of offensive to the guy, because I told him, I said, "I know your heart is heavy, but God is in control of everything. I don't know how this is good for you, but God says it's good for all of those who love him." Our Lord led that situation into me that I might see what I had put down here as real. Our comforter came to me and gave comfort to me that I might give comfort to someone else. It brings great comfort knowing that our Lord and Savior rules over all things. It brings great comfort to me to know nothing can separate me from him who has loved me from before the foundation of the world. It brings great comfort to know that all that the Father hath given the Son shall come to him. That would drive me crazy if I didn't have that scripture in front of me when I'm talking to my children. That's the only comfort I have, knowing that Jesus died for a people, and all of those people shall come to him. All of them. No empty seats. And it brings great, great, great comfort to know that he has paid it all perfectly and totally. There is nothing for me to do. There is nothing that I can do. I cannot add to it, and I cannot take anything away from it. And that's the way it is for all of his blood-bought children. We rest in his work. We rest in him. In Jeremiah 31, verse 1, it says, And at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. Before we ever were, he loved us. So much so that he gave his only begotten Son for us. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's our hope for our loved ones, right there. Our divine declaration is, whosoever believeth, all that the Father giveth the Son shall believe. And that's our only hope. He draws us into his loving arms and comforts us with loving kindness, giving us assurance through the preaching of his word. He says in his word, I will be your God and you will be my people. I don't know about you, but my peace is in him and him alone. Amen. And if any of my loved ones belong to him, then they too will be drawn to him in the day of his power, in the day of his love. Turn over to John chapter 6, if you would, please. The 6th chapter of John. Verses 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So there we go. Not only will he draw all that he has loved to him, he won't cast them out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, verse 38, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. So knowing this comfort, this comforting thought of who is working all things according to his will, well then what shall we do? We can't give up our own salvation for them. What can we do? We can go about our days believing in Christ. We can go about our days trusting in Christ. We can go about our days living for Christ. We can go about our days ready. Ready. Ready to tell anyone about our Lord Jesus Christ as he opens those doors that he has appointed in time. What did Paul do? What did Paul do next? He went about preaching. He went about telling. He went about sharing what Christ has done for him. What did we sing? I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story for those who knew it best. For those who know it best seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when the scenes of glory, and when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long, of Jesus and his love for his people. Pastor.